You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we are back. We've got Dr. Ivan Meisner. He's the founder and chairman of BNI, the world's largest business networking organization. BNI was founded by Dr. Meisner in 1985. It has over 6,300 chapters throughout the world. He's been called the father of modern networking, the networking guru. I just call him friend, Dr. Ivan Meisner. I'm supposed to call you Ivan. Ivan,
absolutely.
Welcome back.
Please do, and I hope, you know, I'm just glad they're not calling me the grandfather of modern networking.
No, they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. I think the stories about your son, that just makes you the father.
There we go.
There, you're the father. Now, I've talked about how I brain cramped on the gentleman's name the other day, and then there's sometimes I'll come back from a networking event and I'll have, I call them a two-inch event. I got 2 1-inch binder clips, and I'm flipping through them, and I'm remembering people. But then comes the next day, and I'm forgetting everybody.
Right.
So, you know, I try to write something prudent and on point on the person's business card. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely is okay. I recommend that you generally do one of two things. Either jot a note on it when you've walked away from them, or if you're standing right there, and I do this all the time, I'll say, you know, they'll say something that I want to remember, or I'll promise to send them something, which, is, by the way, is a great idea. You know, if there's an article or something that gives you a reason to reconnect with them, I'll ask them, may I write on the back of your card? So you should ask for permission. However, remember, there are some cultures where it is completely inappropriate to write on someone's card. It's usually Asian cultures, Japanese, Chinese. It is bad form to write on their card. They will tell you yes, out of courtesy, but it is rude for you to do it, so don't do it. Western society doesn't care. Do whatever you want on a business card, but I do usually ask for permission.
Oh, I ask for permission. I'm right there with you, and I go to the University of Florida, and I work with their MBAs and their graduate students in real estate, and a number of them are straight out of China. They'll tell you right to their face that they're going to spend 3 years and go right back, and I treat their business cards completely differently than I treat the American students, and I got to tell you, so whenever I'm networking, I try to use, and here's another term, I try to use what I describe as a contingent behavior pattern. I try to make it, again, I'll say it, a high five to Bruce Turkel, all about the other person. I try to be different to different people.
Well, right, because you want to honor their cultures. Japanese call it a maishi ritual. They call it the maishi ritual for the business card transaction. When the Chinese use it, it's the same process, but they call it something different, where you hand the card from the two top corners, hand it to the other party, bow. The other party, you know, accepts the card from the two bottom corners, bows, and it's a little ritualistic exchange of business cards. By the way, if you really, for the listeners, if you really want to be on top of things, comment on the card. Make some comment about the card that you like. For example, a real common one is oftentimes in Japanese, it'll be English on one side and Japanese on the other side, and I'll usually comment about, you know, how I... It's really nice having a card that's got both English and Japanese, so that you can, you know what it all means. Something simple like that, they appreciate.
You know, I agree with you, and even with the American, or it doesn't matter who, I like to comment on a lot of times the logo. If it's especially an entrepreneur, I really try to give positive feedback on the logo because I know how hard it is to come up with a good one.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Very, very true. It's one of the reasons why it's important when you produce cards to produce cards that someone can actually write on. Because if you want to be remembered in a networking environment, it's not uncommon for people to write on the back of the cards. And you're right. When you come back the next day, you forget, who was it that I was talking to about this issue? And so by writing on their cards, it enables you to really remember who they are. Also, if you use techniques like, Harvey McKay in his book, Dig Your Well Before You're Thirsty, talks about this at length, about keeping notes on the people that you have contact with from time to time so that you can touch bases with them and, if they have children, ask how the kids are doing. I mean, he's a master at managing managing a database. And so it begins with that first meeting and them giving you the card.
Wow. Now, I want to change the direction of our discussion just a little bit because, you know, you're a PhD. I'll throw it out there from USC, even though I'm a Gator, I'll give you the USC stuff. But, you know, tell me about the next book you're going to be working. You've got to be working on something or coming out with something soon. What is you got that you're looking at today that you think you can comment on and it can help us
sure.
all out?
Absolutely. I've got a book it's come out in BNI, but we haven't done the public version, and I'm really excited about this book. It's called Who's in Your Room? Who's in Your Room? And I'll give you 60 seconds on what it is.
Very cool.
Imagine that you live your entire life in one room. And in that room is everyone you know and work with. And that room has only one door. And that door is an enter-only door.
Wow.
So when you let someone into your room or into your life, they are in there forever. You can never get them out.
Wow.
Now, luckily, it's a metaphor. But if it were true, here's the question that we pose. If it were true, if you lived your life in one room and that room had only one door and that door was an enter-only door, would you be more selective about the people who you let into your life?
Mm. OMG, what a great concept.
Every single person, Jim, that I've had this conversation with has said, oh, yeah, I would be way more selective about who I let in my life. And so the whole concept is about the creation of a metaphorical doorman. And that doorman kind of, it's your conscious effort to screen people based on the values they have and the kind of people that you want to work with. Because although you can get them out of your room, it's not always easy to get them out of your room. This is particularly relevant if you're talking about building a powerful personal network. You want to surround yourself with people that you want in your room. So that's the concept that I've been working with lately, and we're going to be coming out with a public book hopefully next year.
Oh, it's awesome. And I call it the pride of affiliation. I want to make sure that the people that I'm affiliated with, that I have pride with, and if it's somebody that I'm not proud to be associated with, I try to distance myself from them. And some people can kind of come up behind you and fool you, but if you go by, and I got to say it this way, your gut instinct, usually that's pretty good.
It really is. It really is. And we believe, and I've got a couple of co-authors with this book, we believe that the quality of your life really depends on the people in your life. And so you want to screen people based on their values and whether they're congruent. They don't have to be the same as yours, but they need to be congruent. You don't want them to be incongruent with your values.
Oh, no. It's all about keeping it comfortable, keeping it real, and also, I would say, keeping it focused. I don't really want to get too dispersed, because if I let too many people in my room, there's value to being in my room. And the value is I give you time, energy, and focus. And I don't have that to spread around like butter on bread.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And let me give you another example of how this plays out. When I first started talking to Stuart Emery, who's my co-author on this book, one of the things that I realized was that I don't work well with people who have lots of drama, who bring tons of drama to a situation. And I realized that I had people in my room with tons of drama. And in this conversation originally with Stuart Emery, who Stuart wrote the book Success Built to Last and Do You Matter, he and I are co-authoring this book, I realized, I have people with drama in my room. Why are they here? I let them in. It was a conscious decision. I let them in knowing that they had drama, but they were so skilled at what they did, I thought I could deal with the drama, and I was dead wrong. And I realized that I was doing the very thing that he was talking about. And the more that we can avoid that, the better the life we have, the more successful our business will be. I just love this concept, and I'm really excited about it.
It sounds great, and I would only say that sometimes the dramatic people need to learn how to tone it down just a bit, because they're just letting their creative side get a little too far ahead of them, because we all need to be creative, but we also all need to be conscious of the impact we have on other people.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't have time to send them back to mom to get retrained. You know, you have your life to live, and they may or may not change, and you don't have time to help them change unless they're willing to, and very few people are willing to make that kind of change.
Well, I've also found that most people don't change, which brings me to the point that we only have a minute left. I don't change. I take you all the way to the limit, Ivan. So I'm going to hope that we can get you back again sometime in the next few months, maybe around the holidays when people start to go to these holiday parties for networking where they make the big mistake. They have a little bit too much to drink.
We've all seen that, haven't we?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh, we sure have. Well, listen, Ivan, how do people find you, find your books, find your contacts, find your BNI blog, all the good stuff? How do they get you?
You know, all my books are available at Amazon, except for Who's in Your Room, which is the BNI book. BNI.com is my organization. By the way, we're up to 6,900 groups now.
I have to update my stuff here.
6,900 groups. I have a blog, IvanMeisner.com. That's M-I-S-N-E-R, IvanMeisner.com. Tons of free information up there. Love to have your listeners go check out the blog.
It's great. We love having you on the show. I love how you help all of our listeners get the most out of their daily contacts. Dr. Ivan Meisner, president, founder of BNI, the networking guru, the father of networking, the younger brother of networking. How do you like that one?
I like that. Thanks.
All right. Have a great rest of the day, a great rest of the week, and we'll be talking soon, Ivan. I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Anytime, Jim. Thank you.
No, it's my pleasure. We'll be right back after this short break. We're going to have advances in ovarian cancer. I see our U-Health doctor is called in. He is up next. After the turn, stay dry, relax in traffic. It ain't going anywhere fast today. We'll be back after this.